Praise you, Lord. Amen. Lord, we give you this last message on this line.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Lord, Lord, we want your heart.
Amen.
Give us your heart for man.
Amen.
Lord, Lord, take us on.
Amen.
Pray for the strengthening of the churches in this matter.
Amen.
Lord, that we would be fruitful branches in the vine.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, how about this? Let's together, without looking, let's recite the topic of this whole training.
Amen.
Ready? Go.
Knowing, seeing, and hating God in the age of godlessness.
Okay, sisters, you do that. Go.
Knowing, seeing, and hating God in the age of godlessness.
Amen. Brothers.
Knowing, seeing, and gaining God in an age of godlessness.
Can you, without looking, recite the title of this line? Living a life of fruit bearing. Did I get it right? Let's do it together.
Living a life of fruit.
Oops. Living a fruit bearing life. Living, how about all together again for me?
Living a fruit-bearing life.
Amen. So, how does this fit in knowing and seeing and gaining God in the age of godlessness? How about first, let's look at a verse together. Isaiah 5, verse 20. Okay. Tell me if this verse witnesses with you at all, if there's any reaction in your being to this verse. Isaiah chapter 5, yeah, verse 20. Isaiah, did I get it right? Isaiah 5:20. Does it start, woe to those? How about whoever has it, read that with a strong spirit, because woe is woe. How about some stand with Carlos and read it like you're God pronouncing woe?
Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. Does that seem like today? What's God's feeling about that? Woe to those. Woe to those. Okay. And, you know, we have enemies as God's people, just like in the Old Testament. The children of Israel had enemies on their way entering the good land. Amalek came after them. You know, all the nations came after them. You know, we have three particular enemies. And they've been listed already in this time. One is deadness. Do you feel like it's okay to be dead? Is it? After this week, all of us know. But when you go home and you find yourself migrating to the back row of the prayer meeting, well, let's say the table meeting, because just be in the prayer meeting. If you go to the prayer meeting, you did your part kicking Satan in the mouth. If you failed all day, go to the prayer meeting. If you love the Lord, be in the table. If you hate Satan, go to the prayer meeting. Okay, you all should be in the prayer meeting of the church. But it's not okay to be there in a dead way. There should be, that's our enemy. I want to kill you. That's an enemy. Okay? The thought of this age of godlessness, that influence can creep into the church life. What about lukewarmness? That's another enemy. You know, we're just indifferent. I'm doing okay, David. I'm really fine. I mean, I read the book every morning, that one. I read that in the gray portion, sometimes all of it. And I read the Bible sometimes, Bobby. I'm okay. I'm doing okay. It is to call bitter sweet, to call darkness light, you know. To say nothing of this age, the worldly age, oh, you should have as many relationships as you can because you're young and it's really sweet. No, that's bitter. That's bitter. That prepares you for divorce. Okay. What about the third enemy, barrenness? Has this enemy that wants to kill us become our bosom friend? We're quite comfortable with him to be barren. You know, our prayer is just that we would break through and have the one. Just the first one of many children. Amen. So you could distance yourself and learn to hate that enemy, particularly the enemy of barrenness. This is our future. Just, you know, 20 years flies by really, really quickly. 20 years goes by so fast. And the ones that we look at, this is the future of the Lord's recovery. Who else is going to bring the Lord back? Who cares? Who else on this earth cares about oneness, the oneness of the body? Who cares about life? Who cares about eating? It has to be you. Okay? So we need to have a life of fruit bearing. It's not optional. It's life and death. Okay? Don't worry, Andrew is going to be the good cop. Okay. Okay. Let's read the message title together. Go.
Bearing fruit by contacting people directly, personally, and continually.
All right. When you see contacting people, when you think contacting people, your thought, it doesn't have to be this, but one way you can think of contacting people is visiting. This is a Texan saying. I'm sure it's a Southern saying. Georgia, probably the same. We're just visiting. We're just visiting. Okay? But what does that mean? Okay, let me read you a definition. This comes from the life study of 2 Peter. I'm sorry, the life study of 1 Peter. And says, the Greek word translated visitation, this is in 1 Peter 2:12. We glorify God in the day of his visitation. His visitation. What does that mean? It comes from the Greek word episkopos. Epi means over, and skopos, what do you do with a scope? A microscope, telescope. Yeah, so it's just to come look, to come see. The basic meaning of this word is to observe, inspect, oversee, look upon. What does God intend to do when he comes to visit us? Does he come to judge us? Oh, Lord. Maybe he does sometimes. He is a judge, a righteous judge. But in this case, that's not the meaning. Does he come to judge us? No. Instead of coming to judge us, God visits us for the purpose of looking upon us and observing how we are doing and what we're doing. It may seem that he says to us, wow. Here, you're going to have to read this, David. Okay, read into the mic. It may seem.
Where are you?
It may seem.
Oh, it may seem that he says to us, how is everything with you? What are you doing? Is everything all right? God's visitation is like that of a shepherd. It is also the visit of an overseer.
Hmm.
This is the reason Peter speaks of the Lord as the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Our Savior is the shepherd and overseer. He shepherds us and oversees us in order to take good care of us. This is the proper understanding of the word visitation.
How about that? How about that? What did you think you were going to do when you contact people regularly, directly, and continually? You know, the verse was already referenced this week. Mark 13, I think 14. He called 12 and he appointed them that they should... Yeah, I would say bear fruit. That's what I would say. But the 3:14? But the verse just says, well, it says other stuff too, but the first thing it says is he appointed them that they would be with him. What do you think would happen to you if you were just with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years? And you watched how this guy made his bed in the morning. And you watched how he spoke to his wife or companions. And you witnessed the condition of the trunk of his car. It would minister life to you. Just be with the Lord. And when we, it has to be our, in this title, our contacting people. Listen, we bear fruit. Don't you want to bear fruit? Yes or no?
Yes.
Everybody wants to bear fruit. That's part of the life we have. But wanting to bear fruit, that's not enough. We'll get into that. Like, you know, there's a sister in my locality, she wants to learn how to drive. That's great. But she has to learn how to drive. I want to learn how to drive. You know, since I got married, I put on about a pound a year. I want to lose that weight. Somebody, my first year of serving full time, a young brother in Houston, college age, he said, "Hey Matt, I heard you used to be an athlete. What happened?" So I want to get back into shape. That means nothing. That means nothing, Zach. Do you want to bear fruit? Sorry. It means that much. I'm jumping the gun. How about there is so much in me. I'm just all over the place. I apologize. But I want to refer you to Jose Luis's diagram that he drew for us. Remember the compass? This is an engineer's handwriting. Okay. What is this line? Yeah. Well, let's do it this way. Let's do it according to John 15. Okay? What is John 15, 5? I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And then I think we can also recite John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and fruit should remain. Okay, let's use that to label these axes on this compass. Okay, this one. Okay. This one? All right. This one? Yeah, let's call it remaining fruit. Remaining fruit. We want fruit that remains, brothers and sisters. We want a continuation. I think what would be helpful for us is to look at some verses in our recovery version. Don't you love the recovery version?
Amen.
How about that session where Brother Steve showed us how to use cross-references? You know, my wife and I, when the Old Testament recovery version was being edited, we were blessed to receive in the mail, maybe you got these too, Robert, in the mail, sheets of the recovery, proof sheets. And our job was only to check the cross-references. It was so fun looking at the cross-references. Why is this here? That was our job. It wasn't just us. It couldn't have been just us to determine, is this cross-reference the right one? You know? So I would look at these cross-references, Pat, and wonder, is this supposed to be here? I don't see it. But it could be because I'm just thick. I don't know why this is here. And I would try things like I would switch the verse and the chapter. Oh, okay. It was simple. But sometimes I just put up a question mark. I just don't see it, you know. But it was a great exercise. We have this recovery version. Pretend this is a paper recovery version. This is gold. Why wouldn't you read the best one? Why not? You got it available to you. Let's look at the footnote in John 15:17. And let's read that all together out loud. John 15:17, I think it's note one. There's only one note. Okay, whoever has it, ready, go. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's treat the Bible the way it should be treated. Let's read the text first. The notes are just openers. We like the gold mine. And maybe we have a pick and an axe and a flashlight to get at the mother lode. The Bible is the mother lode. Let's read the verse first. These things I command you, that you may love one another. Love one another. Now let's read the footnote. Go.
This is to love one another in the Lord's love.
Right. Right.
Having different sources of life, different conditions, or different goals will separate us and prevent us from loving one another.
Okay. Let's take the words source, condition, and goal and label these axes. Okay, you do it. Here we go. What's this one?
Source.
All right. Source. What's this one?
Goal.
What's this one? Condition. And what is this condition, by the way?
Love.
You know how the body builds itself up, by the way? In love. Don't forget in love. This, I'm talking to myself. Oh, Lord, my team. In love. Okay. You know what a brother told me one time? This is a coworker in the Lord's recovery. He said, Matt, the church life is not the army. I said, oh, amen. I'm sorry. Okay. You could also do it this way. If you read Brother Lee's fellowship in his later years on the vital groups, there will occasionally be this will appear. PNC. This corresponds with goal. This corresponds with source. And this corresponds with condition. Purpose. Nature. Condition. And as we and our companions in the church endeavor to bear fruit for the Lord, we should never lose sight of the purpose. Are we here to just make each other feel good? And these are my friends. These are my boys. We've been together for years. You know what? That will burn. I mean, just that by itself is vanity. What about... Anyway, we have a goal. What about children? Okay? This is a huge one. No husband and wife relationship will survive. You may have some children, but there better be some love in that family. Okay? And the source is life. And the source for us is the divine life. So, the nature is spiritual. Of our being with one another, it should be spiritual. The condition is love in one accord. And the goal is remaining fruit for the Lord's interests. Okay? Just to show you how consistent the Bible is, though, let's look at another verse and also label these. Let's look at Romans 15:16. And for time, just whoever gets it, read it with your companion. Stand up. You have to go, otherwise time, we're not saving any time.
The gospel of God, in order
How about that verse? Let me read you something. You can follow with me. Footnote 3 on priest. I just want to read one part of it. By this priestly service, many Gentiles who were unclean and defiled. Was that you? Do you think that used to be you? It was. Who were sanctified, were sanctified in the Holy Spirit and became such an offering acceptable to God. Are you priests? Are you a priest?
Yes.
How about a verse? Well, this is a good verse, but I'm thinking of 1 Peter 2:5. We are priests, and we're part of a priesthood, you know? You yourselves, just like the Lord. If we label this according to what we see here in Romans 15, 16, I hope we all will have our hands full. As priests, the proof of your priesthood is that you have offerings. You have something. Do you have some Gentiles, brothers? These are my... Don't offer the wrong thing, right? Cain did that. The Lord wants Gentiles. You offer those. We, you know. But anyhow, how about in our diagram? Let's just look and see what's going to go here, according to this verse. Yeah, let's say the offering of the Gentiles. I'm just going to put Gentiles. How about the source? What do you think goes there? I mean, it's not probably totally parallel, but it just touched me, this verse. I would say God. Priest of God. Priest of the gospel of God. Priest of God. So the source is God. Here, it's a little harder to see branches because it looks like Paul's just talking about himself here. But if you go to the next chapter, there's a priesthood. So I would put priesthood here. But this really is, brothers and sisters, this is the compass of our Christian life. You know, it's not going to be 5 different messages on living a fruit-bearing life. This is the way, this is God's way in the Bible, to go on and to reach his eternal purpose. This is where sons come from. I think my group had the best group name of all of the groups. Sonship. That is the meaning of the entire Bible. Sonship. You know. How about you know what? I'm debating. I'm going to show you 3 more verses just to show you that this is high peak. Do you know what the high peak of the divine revelation is? Have y'all heard that expression before? How about those of you that do? Let's recite it together. God became man to make man God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. How come you added that last phrase, by the way? I read Athanasius. He didn't put that in there. I think we have to do that just to...
People misunderstand.
Yeah, yeah. Not in the Godhead. Come on. That's not what we mean. Life and nature. But I want to point you out, not only are we becoming God, and it fits with John 15, with the branches and the vine. Not only are we becoming God, we are becoming God. How about that?
Wow.
That was the right answer. In life, nature, and I would add one more, function. So I'm going to do these verses in reverse order. No, I'll do it in the proper order. How about somebody look up Psalms? Enjoyed these verses this morning. I wrote them down somewhere. Psalm 104:27. You know what? Let me just read it. You can follow. Psalm 104:27 says, "They all wait for you." Capital U. They all wait for you. Who's capital U in the Bible?
God.
That you, capital U, may give them food at the proper time. They all wait for you that you may give them food at the proper time. Luke 9:13. But he said to them, to his disciples, you give them something to eat. Oh, master, it's getting late. Send them all away. There's thousands of people here. Send them away so they can get something. They can get something to eat. You give them something to eat. How heartless. You give them something to eat. They were in the process, right? And then Matthew 24:45. Who then? This should be our standard. This is what we aspire to be, brothers and sisters. Who then is the faithful and prudent slave? Is this your aspiration?
Amen.
To be a slave? I hope so, especially if you're serving full time. We're nobody. You young brothers and sisters, I hope you view the full timers as your slaves. Oh, this is your personal cell number. Is it okay? Yeah, call it anytime. You know? Faithful and prudent slave. What's the definition of faithful and prudent slave? Whom the master set over his household to do what?
To give them food!
To give them food. That is your destiny. To be a slave. Giving other people food. Do you have problems? Do you have problems? You will have no problems if you become a slave giving people food. So my first year of serving full-time in Houston, this is 1999. Vanu, are you here? You remember for a brief period of time I really had problems with the neighbors on both sides of the varsity house, of the Rockwood house? The one with the dog, and then the guy across the street, the kind of hippie guy. The one with the dog, she would not shut her dog up. Barked all night. And I went over there. If I'm not going to be able to sleep, she's not going to be able to sleep. And I pounded on her door, 3 a.m. Like, lady, you have to do something about your dog. I'm sorry. She brought her dog in. But she didn't like me after that. And it was mutual. And then the neighbor across the street had Martin's truck towed at 7:05.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 7:05. And I retaliated. I put my car in front of his house. There was one spot in front of his house that technically was a legal place to park. So I put my car there and I left it there for 3 days. This is my first semester of serving full time in Houston. And that was the neighborhood that right adjacent to campus. This guy was a university professor. I left my car in front of his house 3 days. I went out to my car because I had to get something. It was in my car. And he ran out of his house. Hey, man, you can't park there. I said, watch me. And I turned around and I walked over there, you know. And even though it doesn't seem like it, I do have a conscience. And I was so bothered. I was just bothered. Really bothered. How can I serve the Lord Jesus? Is this a full-timer? I was really touched by Philip Bradley. Do you? I've had many times, Lord, I hate myself. You know. And I called a brother in Austin. I can't do this. You know. That was almost the end, before it even began, of almost 20 years of full-time service. I was serious. I called him up. I can't do this. Opened to the brother, told him all this stuff I had done. It was summertime, right before the fall semester. And you know what he did? He started laughing on the phone. This is Neil Wolfson. He started laughing on the phone. He said, Matt, you just need to take care of people. And we're all like that. We're all like that, Matt. You just need to take care of me. He was right. He was right. You know, I was really embarrassed. I'm so glad that Philip asked Daniel what your hobbies were because you gave a good one. I would have been ashamed to say what my lame hobbies are. And I was just thinking about it. I don't have any really good stuff to say. But you know what I really like doing? I like baptizing people. And I like coming to these times and seeing brothers that I had a small part taken care of going on with the Lord. You know, this is our life. You like those verses, though?
Yeah.
We're becoming God in function. In function. What does it mean to bear remaining fruit? It means they do what you do. Do you know 2 Timothy 2:2? And the things which you have heard from me through many witnesses, these things commit to faithful men who will be competent to teach others also. There's five people in that verse. Started with Paul and went through witnesses and went to Timothy. Timothy's supposed to give it to faithful men. They're supposed to give it to others. That is remaining fruit. That's how we go on. That is how we will make it in the Lord's recovery. That's how we'll have a future. And we won't be 17,000 measly, pathetic number in North America. It can't go on like that, saints. Let's get into the outline because I'm being bad. How about all of us on Roman numeral 1? Go.
We need to contact people by ourselves directly, personally, and continually to bear remaining fruit in the
Lord. Amen. How about those adverbs? Let's read all three of those adverbs together again, loudly. Go.
Directly, personally, and continually.
Sisters, go. Yeah, sisters, do it again.
Directly, personally, and continually.
Okay, brothers, go.
Directly, personally, and continually.
There's the message. Okay? We have glorious opportunities throughout the day, throughout the week, to contact people. And some of that is in the realm of the gospel. Some of it is in the realm of care, shepherding, visiting, cherishing, nourishing. You have to learn this, and you learn by doing it. Just practice. I'll read A. We all should desire fruit that remains and make a decision to get one person saved for their church life each year. That's very reasonable, saints. I looked up with a brother yesterday with Andrew. You know what the gestation period is for an elephant? It's 1.5 years to two. 1.5 to 2 years. Listen, we're not asking much. The Lord isn't asking much. Just be normal. One a year. We're not mice. You know? There's 20 babies in 1 week. You know? Be normal. Don't expect something quick and massive. This is very reasonable. B, the reason why we do not bear fruit is because we do not, everyone read together, practice contacting people. There you go. How about all of us on C? Go. You know, serious decision. Who has ever made a resolution, a resolve to do something and failed? Serious decision. I like the word that the brothers brought out this morning, desperate. We're not just here to inspire each other, to make some kind of a, we're inspired and we're going to go to the Lord, go to Him. I think, and I think the only way you become desperate, really, is by failing. Let me read you a quote. I'm so sorry. Andrew, please forgive me, brother. I will read to you a very good quote from Young People's Training, chapter 4. Whether you have the overflow of life or not, you must still contact people. If you do not reach people, you will have no way of knowing where you are. But when you contact them, you will be exposed and become desperate, saying, "Oh, Lord Jesus! How can I go on? Lord, I have discovered that I'm empty." You have to be desperate. If you don't do anything, nothing will happen. You will not fail. You will not realize your need. Are there some in this room that think they don't need the full-time training? That means you haven't tried enough. We need to be desperate, saints. Make this decision. Chapters 3 and 4 in John, you have to read those on your own. I'm going to do you a favor by not talking about those chapters. It's the woman, it's Nicodemus and the woman. Look at the way the Lord contacts them. What a pattern. It's very touching. You just have to get into it. Oh, you read C. D. We need to devote, I'm not doing Roman numeral 2. That's Andrew, so. We need to devote time. How about everyone read D? Go.
We need to devote time to contacting people.
Time. This is why we need the pruning. This is why we need the pruning. Do you have suckers in your life that divert resources? It takes time to contact people. Who do you love? People? The Lord? Or that thing? There's too much to say. I'm sorry. I'm done, but I have more. I'm done, but I have more. Where's John Woo? Are you able to do it in 1 minute? Please, brother. 1 or 2 minutes. 1 or 2 minutes. Come, try your best. Because I have four principles I want to leave you after John shares.
Okay, so for me, I was basically considered a church kid, but in my locality, I was the only one in my age group. So whenever I was entering high school, I didn't have anyone to relate to. So there's these two brothers, actually three. One serving one, Dan Bays, you guys might know him. And also Mike Strong and another brother named Ben Young. And during my freshman year, during track season, they would pick me up after practice, and we would go work out. So even though I can tell they're kind of out of shape, it was like really cherishing for me because like spending time with the bros is way better than spending time with my friends. And we got to the point of, so after working out, Dan brought up the point of exercising your spirit. And I was like, exercising? I love to exercise. So then we got into Genesis 1. And there's this one verse that we memorized, and I memorized to this day. It's Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds over the heaven, and the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So I really encourage you guys to go and go back to your locality and look for maybe even a high school student like me, like I was, and definitely shepherd them because it's really encouraging for them and it allows them to grow in life.
Amen.
It was, I would really appreciate them for what they did for me.
Excellent.
Thanks, man.
This brother is their fruit, is remaining fruit. Did they... They did do some Bible. They did. There was. They were. They led him to life. But track. Come on. Working out. But they gave time. But they gave time. They gave their time, saints. It's not. Okay. Let me just leave you with four principles. I like principles. One principle is when you're visiting people. Visiting people is not easy. It's the most spiritual work of the church, actually. One principle is learn to be a good listener. How many ears do you have? How many mouths do you have? That should be the ratio when you're with people. Okay? Learn to be a good listener. Learn to hear what people say. Learn to hear what they're not saying. And learn to hear what they mean. There are different layers of listening. Anyway, if you want to read more, read the first chapter of The Normal Christian Worker, or it's a different title, The Character of the Lord's Worker. Another one is learn to have a genuine interest in people. People can tell. Those brothers that took care of John had a genuine interest in this young person. What about running? Tell me about running. What's there to tell about it? John could tell them, well, this and this, and then you, okay. Another one is learn to minister life. Learn, practice. You can slip it in there. In little ways, aim the thing at the Lord Jesus. And finally, I'm done with this. Don't be discouraged. Don't allow the enemy to cause you to be discouraged. You can do this, saints. It's natural. It's part of your new biological, your zoological character. And the last thing is, don't be discouraged for yourself and don't be discouraged about others. As you start in this endeavor of caring for people, you will have bad experiences. Sorry, that's life. And when the child that you love has been shot by some well-meaning Christian, and their blood is going down your leg, you have to go on. Don't tie your spiritual well-being, your going on, don't tie it to another person. You eat the Lord for yourself. You have to go on. You've seen something. And besides, it's not hopeless anyway. Okay? So this is just some inoculating fellowship.
Let's all turn to John 15, 16. Oh, Lord Jesus. All right, I'll just read this verse while y'all follow along. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These two words that I want to emphasize here, and just to underscore what Brother Matt mentioned, are these words, go forth. Amen. This implies that we have to leave the place that we are currently at, and we have to go forth to other people. And this is the message, contacting people directly, Amen. Personally, and continually. We may have the thought, and there's truth to this, that if we just abide in the Lord, enjoy the Lord, spontaneously there will be fruit. And that is the case, but we also have to cooperate with the Lord. Amen. And we have to go forth. And this is where I feel like this message is really practical. This is where the rubber meets the road. Is people will not come unless we go to where they are. And I think some of the other brothers earlier in this line brought this up about the Lord entering into people's situation. Actually, even the Lord Jesus with us, he was incarnated. That's why all of us are here, is because the Lord was incarnated and he came down to where we are. And so we have to go to where they are to reach people and to reach man. How about brothers read 2?
We need to take a simple way to bear remaining fruit.
Amen. And sisters A. Like Brother Matt said, we can want to do something, but that can very easily amount to nothing if we don't actually do it. And so we need to make definite steps to contacting people. I just want to put a plug in here for making a schedule. If you don't make a schedule, you can have the best intentions, but you are likely not to do them. Me and my wife, during the summer, our schedule is a little less regular than during the school year, and we actually have more time. But we were realizing that we have the intention to read the Bible, to pray together, to do all these things, but we hadn't been doing those things, and I didn't know why. I mean, like, I want to pray, read my Bible every day. So we got on Microsoft Excel, and we made a schedule of when to read the Bible, of when to do all these things. So we just need to have some definite steps, or else this will just be nothing than just good intentions. And in college, for me, a definite step was putting a stack of gospel tracts in my backpack. I realized if the opportunity were to present itself, I had nothing to give someone. So anyway, we need to make definite steps to contact people. Sisters, read B. Amen. Yeah, Matt touched on this as well. Having fruit, or even having this realization that what we're enjoying is not just for us, actually even upgrades and uplifts our own enjoyment. I was just thinking about this outline. This outline is better than all the other outlines in this college training, because I knew that I was going to have to speak to you over this outline. And I enjoyed it so much more because my view was with the view of speaking to you guys. So the same applies with having morning revival. It's a good thing to pray. Even in the morning, like, Lord, I need to touch you for all the ones that are under my care. We should have this realization of the outflow in everything that we're doing. Brothers, you can read B1. Sisters, the next one. For this, I just want to say one short thing, is that you reproduce what you are. If you are a living, revived branch who's touching the Lord every morning, The ones under your care are going to be living, happy, joyful Christians. When I was in college, some of the brothers that I was with, I could tell that they enjoyed the ministry in the Word, and this just stirred up my appreciation for the Word. And so, if we're not having morning revival, we're not being revived. Then the ones under our care, they're not gonna be revived, because we're caring for them and we're not being revived. And so anyway, just to have the view, even in our morning time, that we need to do this for the sake of the ones under our care. Okay, who did I leave off with? Brothers? All together on three. Amen. Okay, let's go to C with everyone on C.
Third, we need to practice personally contacting people every week.
Okay, I think we have two brothers, Julian and Nam. Y'all want to say something real brief about visiting people?
And these brothers really received this. That's the point. They received this kind of thing.
Okay, so this past spring was my first college semester, and coming to college, like, from high school, I didn't know anything about the church life. I didn't know the church life existed. Coming up, I was just a Christian, and this past spring, I really wanted to get involved with the school, and I saw this Christian's table, and I was very intrigued, and I signed up, and I met with a brother named Jonathan Chen. It's kind of crazy, because before I met Jonathan, I've never read a book in the Bible before. Like, I've read verses here and there, but I've never read an entire book. And so Jonathan, he really took me under his care, and we did this Bible reading challenge, the book of John. So it was a month long, and we read the whole book of John. And I didn't really get much out of it, because I didn't feel like I didn't understand much, but I felt like the Holy Spirit coming into me. I felt like Christ was coming into me. Amen. And, yeah, but at first, with Jonathan, we didn't really talk about the gospel or anything. We actually connected on a few things. Like, we had, like, me and him were both in the Corps of Cadets at A&M, and we were talking about that. And we just connected on a few other things besides the gospel. And, you know, like, 2 weeks in knowing him, we met every day, or we would meet or text each other or call each other and read the book of John. And it was just so powerful because we only met or talked for about 20 minutes. 20 minutes each day really helped me just Amen. Get involved with the Word. And it's just amazing because now I've read the entire New Testament with him, and we're working on the book of the Old Testament.
Amen. Yeah.
I first met the Saints at Freshman Connect, and it's basically like an icebreaker before we go to like Saints' homes for like progressive dinners. And at that time, I didn't have a car. Well, I still don't have a car right now. So this brother took us. It was me and another freshman, and then he got us number, right? Yeah. He got our numbers. Yeah. And immediately, you know, we started this group chat. Yeah. And we just talked, and he created a very easy atmosphere to be open, you know? And I think that's what we need as freshmen, you know?
Sure.
Eventually, our contacting progressed. You know, it wasn't just contacting through text. It was, he invited us to dinner. But he didn't invite us to home meetings. He took us to restaurants, right? And so I remember this one time where we were about to pay, me and this other freshman, Eli, we were about to pay. We took out our wallets, and then this brother said, you know, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, you know? And I just realized, or I just found out actually recently, that at that time he didn't have a job. He was paying for us, you know, and this occurred more than once.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed those meals because at that time I was like a really desperate one. Like the Lord really made me seek the truth.
Yeah.
But and Frank was just, he was just overflowing.
Amen.
You know, I've been preached to with surface things, but with Frank, you know, I didn't feel like I was being preached to.
Yeah, yeah, amen.
I was being fed, you know, deeper things, amen. So eventually he invited me to the college conference. That was my first college conference. And I was telling him, I can't afford this. And again, he says, don't worry about it. You know, I've never met anyone who's willing to spend for someone, you know, you barely know,
yeah.
You know. So it just so happens that college conference was about the heavenly vision and seeing the body. And, well, no, by the grace of the Lord, you know, by his mercy, I really saw the body. But I wouldn't have gotten that full appreciation had I not witnessed this brother shepherding me first, you know.
That's so encouraging. When I first read this title, it feels so daunting, right? Contacting people directly, personally, continually. But these brothers, they are proof that as long as we have a heart for man and we love man, then it is possible to contact people in this way. Okay. Maybe we can have Eli and Daniel come up. We have two more pop-ups if y'all want to speak some.
You know, brothers. This is going to be, there's a point in the outline about studying someone's situation and entering into their situation, coming into their situation.
Yeah, so I'm a church kid, and I've been in the church life for, like, since I was a baby. But there was a period of time where my parents we just left the church life. And then we came back to the church life, and there was this period of time where they were really, really open. And these brothers from Austin, Brother Tim C. and Brother Ro, came visit down in the valley to my house really late at night. And our brother picked them up. And they really wanted to go to a home. And no one was, like, awake or, like, available, except for my dad. Like, he was awake. I don't know why. He was awake. And then my dad was like, yeah, just come over. And they came over, and I saw them. I'm just like, what are you doing here? Like, so late. Like, okay. And then I stayed with my dad and my mom, just hearing them out, what they were saying. And then Brother Rao was just like, hey, what are you doing? Like, where are you going in high school? Like, what do you want to study? And he just got to know me. And after that, I was like, No one wants to know me. Like, no one in the church life wanted to, like, know about me. Except for that time. I was just like, wow, okay, that's weird. Okay. And then, like, a few months passed by, and then I just got a random text from a random number. And he's like, hey, this is Brother Roel. I'm coming down to the valley. Can I pick you up and we can eat? I was like, it's a six-hour drive from Austin to the valley. And he did this for a whole month, every Friday. Yeah. And like, my first dinner with him, it was like, he was like, what do you want to eat? I was like, oh, no, like, no, you choose. And I didn't have money, so, like, I just wanted to spend something, like, cheap, you know, like McDonald's or something. And he's like, don't worry about it. I got it. What do you want? I was like, I guess we can eat wings, you know? And then we went to the restaurant, and I saw the menu, and it was, like, expensive. I was like, why did I choose this restaurant? And it was just, like, after he got to know me more and more, and, like, for a whole month, he did it. And I was so cherished. Amen. I was so cherished. I really appreciated that.
All right, so I'm fairly new to the church life. I actually met the saints in College Station first, but then I moved back down to the valley. And so the first semester in college, I was with the club on campus, and it was a great experience. During spring break, we actually went to the short-term training. So it's like a full-time training, but for a week. So we went to California, to Anaheim, and we spent like a whole week with the full-time trainees, and it was amazing. I thought that they were gonna look down at us because we were like the new kids, but I couldn't distinguish a full-time trainee with a short-term. And after, on the way back, we stopped at Fort Stockton, which is somewhere in Texas up there, a little North Texas. So we were spending the night there with the saints, and my mom called me and said, your dad doesn't want you in the house anymore. And I was like, oh, okay. And she's like, yeah, we're getting a divorce. And I was like, shooketh. I mean, I didn't know how to respond to that. I was in denial at first. I didn't want to let it get to me because I was like, that's their problem. Like, I don't need to worry about this. I'll be okay. And sooner than later, I found myself not going to school, staying at home, eating a lot of ice cream, watching a lot of sad movies. And I stopped meeting with the saints in my fall semester. I missed I don't know how many weeks of class, but I still found a way to turn in homework. But Brother Roel would text me, and it was these confusing texts, like, really touch my conscience, because it would just be, brother, ... So, and he still does that. He still does it. So, he would touch my conscience, and I would, like, not even wait to ask what was going on. I'd be like, bro, I'm going to be at the Bible study, I promise. But I still wouldn't show up. But eventually, he just asked me, after like maybe 2 months without seeing them, he asked me, he's like, I want to visit you where you are. Like, where are you? Like, can we go visit your family? So I was like, well, let me talk to my mom. Let's see what's up. So I talked to my mom. And at the time, my mom was still very skeptical about the saints. She didn't believe that I was at a home meeting at 9, 10 at night. And she was like, you're not praising Jesus. So I wanted her to meet the saints, and, you know, I felt like I couldn't stand, I couldn't go out, like, I was just so trapped. So another full-timer, Sam, and another college student, actually, Luis, they all came to my house. I invited some friends, too, and they met my family, and my family met them. It was, I got really touched because they came to me, to where I was. Yeah. They cared that much for me, especially that brother. He cared that much for me that he always texted me. Like, there wasn't a day where he wouldn't ask how I was doing. And I wouldn't respond like 90% of the time. I would just see the message and not respond. But eventually, like, it was because of his visiting me that I started going back to school. I broke out of that, and well, here I am.
Amen. Isn't that good? I feel like we can all, like, contact. I want to, like, contact people now from hearing those testimonies. Okay, let's maybe all together we can read number one under C, or sorry, number three under C. All together, we'll just skip ahead. Let's all say the first three words of that sentence.
We should pray.
Amen, amen. Yeah, we have to pray. I don't know how else to say it. Brother Robert, you mentioned at UGA y'all have, what, like 600 names?
So far, yeah.
So you obviously can't buy wings for 600 people. That's not feasible. You have to pray to the Lord to put one on your heart. You have to pray that the Lord would send the ones that you should contact and care for. And so I hope this point that we should pray when we're contacting people, we really need the Lord's wisdom to discern who we should visit and who we should contact. All right, just to close, I just want to read two verses. You can follow along with me. 1 Corinthians 4:2. You can just follow along, I'll read. It says, I'll read 1 and 2. A man should account us in this way, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Here, furthermore, it is sought in stewards that one be faithful.
Amen.
So I just want to put a little something in there just so that we're not discouraged. Our job is to be faithful. When we're contacting people, if we're contacting people for a year and we don't have fruit, we shouldn't be discouraged, because as a steward of God, our responsibility is to be faithful. And just to confirm this, there's another verse in Matthew 25:23. And I want to read, just like Brother Matt, I want to read one of these footnotes. It's so confirming. Matthew 25:23. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your master." That note for two is, this is a, I'll just read part of it. This indicates that the Lord's appraisal and reward are not related to the size and quantity of our work, but to our faithfulness in using his gift to the fullest extent. So we just have to do the best with what we have, and we have to be faithful to the Lord. Maybe we can just end right here.